I instinctively turned on Eric's mic. But there's just a coat there right now.
Yeah.
And we also placed a, we've got a Braid CD that's just going to be standing in for Eric. Because
we really thought it was the most representative of Eric in so many ways.
Yes. That's, you heard a track off Braid's movie music compilation, which I think is going to be in stores on Tuesday. Don't get all freaky, little Braid fans. It may be a week from then. I'm not sure. You probably know better than that, better than
certainly.
I do if you care deeply about Braid. And I care about Braid, but probably not as deeply as you do.
Yeah, two CD set full of lots of cool stuff from 1993 to 1999, right before they broke up.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of cool singles only available on compilations or 7 inches and the like. Lots of cool stuff as usual.
Mm-hmm. Then that track was Please Drive Faster, which I think, I would guess is on Volume 2, because that's very recent. It's actually been placed for whatever reason on Volume 1, but that was just about their last single, I think, they released. So cool. What kind of phone calls did you take during the break? Let me just say, by the way, I give the illegal ID that this is WEFT Champagne 90.1 FM that you're listening to What Jail Is Like.
We got, the first phone call was from Jason, who says he attended the University of North Dakota.
Really?
Yeah. Actually attests to the fact that there were mosquitoes the size of your foot that flourished all over
mm-hmm.
North Dakota. So beware of those.
Yeah.
If you decide to go there. He enjoyed attending college there.
Apparently. It's actually a very pretty campus. I will give it that credit. I felt kind of burned by the deception.
The dinosaurs.
Right. The dinosaur-related deception.
And he said no buffalo actually did wander onto campus ever. Mm-hmm. He sounded kind of disappointed about that fact, but, you know.
Oh, well, sure.
Maybe implying that the local government should have done more to encourage buffaloes to wander onto campus, which, you know, I don't think is really a bad idea when you think about it.
No, it's not.
When you think about how cool buffaloes are.
But, I mean, if you think about, like, what kind of impressions we had of U of I before we came, it's you know, a buffalo wandering on a campus is totally fair game, you mm-hmm. know?
So, we've got a testimonial to the fact that people actually do go to that state and do survive it and actually enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Contradictory to your testimony, man.
Well, yeah, the locals seem to be enjoying themselves.
Themselves there.
I don't
that happens that. A lot, you know?
I mean, if you go in there not expecting dinosaurs... I suppose it's a lot better.
Yeah. Or you go in there not expecting to ever be able to drink water.
Right. I want to give this guy all credit. Matt was picking up the phone during the break, and normally, as I said, Eric grabs the phone. He's very dictatorial about that. He sees the phone light up. He goes for it. You're not getting a chance. I mean, if there's multiple lines going, he somehow manages to talk to both of them, just like switching back and forth. Beautiful conversation. And, you know, Eric just fills the phone. He fills the entire conversation. Within 3 seconds, he's got the person's name. He's asking them for a milkshake. You know, he's really developed this, you know, this really intense emotional relationship with the caller.
Mm-hmm.
Matt, on the other hand, a couple of phone calls. He takes them very businesslike. You know, like, what can I do for you? All right, I'm going to get that taken care of.
You know, contrary to the image that I like to portray on the radio, I am very concerned about being a helpful, considerate person.
Mm-hmm.
And so you might find that if you ever do get a chance to talk to me on the phone here at WAFT, you know, if you ever get past the showboating that Eric is very famous for,
mm-hmm.
you know, which has in its own way become a tourist attraction unto itself here to the callers. But if you get past that, you'll find that what lies within me is a very helpful... And appreciative member of What Jail Is Like.
I would agree with that.
Which is deviating very greatly from the kind of style that that Mark takes when he answers the phone.
That's true, yeah.
Which usually consists of a lot of expletives because the time is very valuable when we're not on the air. He needs to vent and vent all the expletives from his system that he's not allowed to say on the air.
Mm-hmm.
And they usually just rain down upon the caller, whatever that may be.
Yeah.
And so people tend to take that personally.
I normally don't pick up the phone. That's true.
Yeah.
Sometimes I swallow it whole.
Yeah, usually your wet hacking cough turns people off, too.
Bad deal. So what are we going to deal with? I understand we actually have somebody who's very concerned and has a problem that they would like for us to sort out.
We certainly do. So, this call was from 9J divided by 3.
Oh.
Which,
long-time listener, several-time caller. Good guy.
If you simplify it, leaves you with 3J, which is all you really need. And he's got a problem. He says he's trying really hard, but is unsuccessful at finding his pirate side.
His pirate side?
Yeah.
Inner pirate.
I tell him it's very difficult, 9J divided by 3,
mm-hmm.
finding a pirate side, but he seemed very intent on the desire to locate and you know, put into use his pirate side, but wasn't having any luck.
Yeah, well, I can certainly understand.
So, you know, I said, all right, 9J over 3, we'll try our hardest to come up with a solution as to how you can locate and utilize your pirate side, man.
I know, I'd be frustrated.
I know when I was about 5, I was on a mad search for my pirate side.
Mm-hmm.
I'd been watching a lot of pirate-oriented movies and movies with pirates in them, or movies that were maybe had a slight pirate flavor to them.
And that was the days before the Gina Davis, Matthew Modine blockbuster Cutthroat Island.
Before that, if you can imagine. And I went on a quest for my pirate side. Let me tell you, Triple J, it's not easy.
No,
it's deep, deep down. I mean, you might find it easier to even go soul searching and find out who you really are before you find it easy to uncover your pirate side.
Mm-hmm.
Because your pirate side is deep, buried even deeper than that, man. So you got to search really, 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 really hard to find that.
Mm-hmm. You don't settle for just kind of watered-down substitutes, you know, like Long John Silver's. You are not a pirate if you sit out inside of the front door.
Right,
of,
or even it's a good start, but you don't even want to settle for, like, your dock worker side.
No.
Because, I mean, yeah, it's sea-oriented, yeah, you're kind of surly and grizzled, but you're not a pirate, let's be serious. You're kind of a modern-day pirate in a way, but you're not the old-school pirate that you're desperately in search of.
Take the time to locate some real legitimate sea shanties. Don't just, you know, kind of sit in a rowboat and chant a, you know, a Backstreet Boys song, because it's not a sea chanty, just because you're chanting it at sea.
Mm-hmm. And maybe get in contact with a couple old salts, you know, who have lived their life on the sea, have seen it all.
It's a good sign, you know, you're with a real one if they refer to the sea as she.
She.
You know?
Exactly.
That's what the real ones do.
You know, real old salts that have been tempted by, you know, sirens of the sea, have been lured into disaster by, you know, storms and the lure of gold and the promise of wealth and fame and fortune.
And I mean, that's a really good point about the gold is a very common trademark of pirates is that they have gold somewhere. And they've buried it, and I think it would be very useful if you could locate a place to bury your gold.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have to get some gold first. You can, you know, you bury things alternative to gold, you know, just things that are very valuable, things that treasure seekers might want.
Right.
But you can't just bury it. You've really got to leave notes around town, like kind of hinting at where your treasure is. You don't want people to find it,
right.
But you've got to leave the possibility open.
You want there to be mystery surrounding your treasure.
Definitely. You know?
Another thing you might want to do, and this is for the truly dedicated and the truly dedicated only, is to get rid of one of your legs.
Oh, that's a good point.
Replace it with a wooden stump. Replace it with wood shaped into a stump so that you're able to hobble along but with a grizzled old kind of hobble.
Yeah.
One that says, don't mess with me. I've seen it all.
Right.
And I'll eat you for breakfast.
Yeah, whoever took this leg, you know, they're not walking at all. Sort of thing, you know. Definitely make sure that it's a piece of wood shaped into a stump. Don't settle for a broom, for example.
Don't want that.
Don't settle for...
something unstable without a flat surface on the bottom.
A jackhammer, perhaps. That's going to be a big problem. That's
really
going to ruin your social life. So you want to get, you know, the right kind of stump. Take your time. Maybe locate the stump before losing the leg.
And without a doubt, this will send a signal to your inner soul saying, hey, look, I'm serious about this pirate searching thing. So give up the inner pirate or else.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Kind of put that edge on it. It'll send the right signals to your inner self saying that you're serious about it. You're not just, you know, casually trying to uncover your pirate side.
And I want to borrow a suggestion from my friend Mike Saul, who is the man I took the trip to North Dakota and South Dakota with, and just kind of reconfigure it and suggest that if you want to be a pirate, you should see more R-rated movies.
Yeah.
Definitely
helps in boosting your cause.
Mm-hmm.
And while you're at it, you could, while you're seeing those movies, you can practice your R, because every pirate needs to have a good one.
Yes, and people really don't mind. I think they understand. We're at that kind of cultural point of acceptance where we can understand why somebody is going that direction during a moving.
Absolutely. And 99% of the time in retail situations, you'll find that when getting your change back, an R will serve very nicely in the place of thank you.
Yes. And if you want to just kind of practice the whole treasure burying technique, when you get your change back from the, a retail situation, try maybe like burying it underneath the candy that you can get if you help out the poor kids or something like that.
Absolutely. And while we're at it, while we're talking of poor kids, it's a good idea to try and find yourself a mascot.
Yes, I would agree.
Pirates cling to their parrots like Mark clings to his milkshakes.
Oh, that's true.
Inseparable.
I think that's a great analogy.
But also, a kind of rapport is established between the two, a kind of silent, understated, communication where they don't have to speak to each other. They know that they've both been through a lot. Yet they're friends nonetheless.
Yeah, they're going to cover each other's backs, whatever goes down.
But they're not going to spend a lot of time talking about their friendship or fawning over each other or worrying.
Yeah, it's very tacit.
It's very tacit. So you might want to audition a couple sidekicks to wear on your shoulder. And one of the first ideas was just brought up. You might want to audition some poor kids to carry around on your shoulder.
It's really not a bad idea.
See if any of them work out, if any of them are comfortable, if any of them will be quiet enough to kind of relate. Yeah, I appreciate the tacit relationship that you're going for. If that's too advanced, maybe start off with, some fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a small sack of sand you can place on your shoulder.
Oh, sure. And just kind of look at that small sack of sand and know that you've been somewhere together.
Right. Move up to a potted plant if you can get it to stabilize itself.
A very rough and tumble potted plant.
Oh, we're not talking about some dainty plant here.
No.
Then move along to a squirrel that you can easily capture in your backyard.
Yeah.
Once you find the perfect mascot, once again, you're sending signals to your inner soul and to your inner pirate that'll work as some kind of bait to lure them out.
Mm-hmm.
And before you know it, you'll be living the lifestyle that you so long have been wishing for.
Yeah, and please send us photos. We would be proud to count you among the pirate converted.
Mm-hmm. Send us photos of all the booty you score or, the first village that you plunder.
Don't get mixed up. You may find yourself in a situation where you're offered booty, and that's not the same thing. You want to go straight for vintage 100% booty.
Booty. Pirates often are lured in and tried to be distracted by booty, but it's important that you not deviate from your original intention of scoring a proper booty.
Yeah, and good luck. Leave the pirate ship for last. You're going to need a pirate ship at some point. It's going to be awful hard to find somewhere to sail it in this area. Maybe you could hit like Lake of the Woods or something like that out in Mahomet. But then being a pirate in Mahomet is not very easy in the first place.
Yeah. You want to make sure that you at least find time periodically to get out onto the water, or else you'll just be regarded as a common land lubber.
Yeah.
And that's disastrous to any serious pirate because, as we know, serious pirates spend the majority of their time on the water. So you got to make do with what you can, at least sit in your bathtub extra long periods of time. Take showers, look for puddles, ponds. Yeah,
increase the contact with water.
Absolutely.
Tangent number one, the What Channels Like crew theorizes what it is to actually lub, what it is that a landlubber does, and what sound that a landlubber would make while lubbing. I'll go first. Okay, good. And tangent one.
So there you go, Triple J. There's some options for you. Now, Triple J was double teaming me with the questions.
Was he?
Double coverage. Wow. I didn't think it was very, very appropriate. I mean, we were only in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
There's really no need for such double coverage.
Kind of full court press. Yeah.
Scores were low. Pace of the game hadn't picked up yet. But still, he must feel that I'm some kind of threat in the paint, which we all know I am.
Mm-hmm.
So he wasn't letting me get inside that. But he wasn't letting me take outside shots either, so I was just pissed off. But he asked me another question. A question that, once again, might let you behind the curtain of what Jill's like. He asked me, can you say the phrase, eat my ass, on the radio?
Ooh.
And I said, you know, Triple J, that's a good question.
That is a good question.
I was quick to assure him the fact that you can, but it was only to be used in very special... I didn't tell him this, but this is the advice.
Yeah.
It's only to be used in very special occasions.
Right. It's, for example, you have to worry SEC regulations regarding calls to action. You cannot tell somebody to buy a CD or to go out to a concert. You really can't do that. You can give them the information, you know,
right.
and make it possible. And so, I mean, you can give them the information about your ass, like where your ass is going to be located, what kind of what they might want to wear, how low to the ground your ass is, you know, what kind of time they want to set
imply,
aside.
Maybe imply, right, how appetizing your ass will look at the time.
Right. But you can't set a fee for the eating of your ass, and then it encourages them to come pay that fee to eat your ass and participate.
Definitely
in
not. So definitely the context that you weave it into has to be very carefully thought out. And this is part of the struggle that we go through here, which I was like, we carefully and almost subconsciously at this point weed out the proper usages of the phrase "eat my ass." And we've got a tape here actually. Showing just a couple audio examples that we play to each other once in a while to kind of refresh our memory of suitable context for the phrase. We'll just start off.
Okay.
Kind of training tapes. This is what they use to train new airshifters, too. Hey, Mark.
Yeah, yeah, man.
You know, I had a dream last night.
Did you?
Yeah, and it was in a dream in which you said to me, "Hey, Matt, I'd like to eat your ass."
Ooh, see, Matt, that's trouble.
Yeah. So, you see, that was the first one.
Yeah.
In which it was buried within the context of the two airshifters talking to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, it wasn't even including the third party of the audience. And it wasn't an invitation. It was framed within a fabrication that one airshifter had in a dream.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't a reality. It wasn't a call to action. But it still got to say the phrase, "eat your ass" on there. Another one?
So, in the news this week, I don't know if you guys read about this, but there's a big problem in Connecticut. President Clinton was coming through there, and he suggested that the local school board eat his ass.
Hmm. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
It's a nice shirt.
Oh, thanks.
So, you can see that was another one, which one airshifter was clearly just giving information about something that had factually occurred. And was not framing it in any way as means of calling anybody to action to participate in the same kind of activity.
Definitely, just laying it down. What,
simply
you know,
reporting
what
had occurred. And the final one. Eat my ass, eat my ass, eat my ass.
Eat my ass!
You can see that was clearly just a song.
Right, it was just a musical performance designed to entertain, to enlighten, to make you feel better.
Right, different set of standards apply to songs, because lyrics aren't to be taken seriously or as calls to order.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's three different contexts in which you can use the lovely phrase. And if you listen closely, I'm sure you'll hear it peppered all across our shows in all the most beautiful and relevant contexts.
That is most beautiful and
so there you
most
go, Triple
relevant.
J, a lesson in what Jell is actually like. And the rigorous standards that we conscientiously adhere to.
Cool. That was a chock full of information and enlightenment.
Undoubtedly.
Let's move off to a song, because we got to save some time next for the public service announcements. Because we are going to do that. And since Eric's here, you probably won't hear the Alzheimer's one. But other than that, we'll have a full force PSA. It's a damn shame. 359-9338 is the phone number if you need to communicate to us. If you want to, you know, just get into the mix, that's the way to do it.
Well, just get into the mix, man. It's a great place to be. Don't sit on the outskirts like those people that you would go to rock concerts and be nervously stare at the mosh pit, wanting to go in but afraid it might occur.
Right.
What might occur? Just jump in. Get in the mix, man. Stir it up.
359.
That's not a call to action, though. You don't have to do that at all if you don't want to.
And there's no fee involved in stirring it up or getting into the mix. It's not for profit. 359-9338.